We're in Proverbs chapter number 3 today. Our topic tonight is the froward versus the righteous. All right, now let me throw this out there before we really get into it. What does the word froward mean? Oh, good. It wasn't just me. It's not an easy one, is it? It's not a word that we typically use. Well, we're going to be looking at this word. If you have a King James Bible, it is in there often in the Proverbs. And so this is a word that I really want us to help understand as we're looking at the froward versus the righteous. I read from Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 32. And God's word says this: "For the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence." So now I'll be reading it in a little bit in the King James, as it says, "For the froward is abomination." You know, instruction is often best retained when we can make a comparison, all right? When you can look at things that are perhaps opposites or how things relate, it's often the best instruction. For instance, those who need to work more quickly are reminded that they are moving at a what? A snail's pace, all right? We get that picture, that comparison. Just what is a snail's pace? Well, it's really slow, isn't it? Or how about those who do not receive instruction? You tell them to do something, or they're trying to help them, and they're stubborn. You'd say, you're as stubborn as a what? A mule. Yeah, see, we get that comparison, that picture. A person of good character is complimented when he is told that he is as good as gold. We can think of comparisons. Maybe someone with great eyesight is compared to a hawk. Somebody with wisdom is compared to an owl. Someone who is shifty, they say they're like a snake. Or you get the idea. Comparisons help us to receive instruction or understand things. The Proverbs often teach by comparison. Now, typically, these comparisons usually have a phrase in them. As I read in verse 32, and which I don't know what translation you're using. It's in the King James. It's in the ESV. It might be in what you have today. But there would be this phrase, "but the." All right, "but the." Like in this verse, "the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright." So you see this phrase is found 81 times in the book of Proverbs. It highlights comparisons. Proverbs 14:23 says, "In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Or how about Proverbs 16, verse 9, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." Or Proverbs 11:28, "He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch." You see where we have these comparisons. And often in the book of Proverbs, it's not just that it's comparisons, but it's usually of different characteristics. We've looked at the fool and the wise. We've looked at angry men. We've looked at somebody who's proudful and somebody who is humble. Today, we consider such a thing. We look at the froward and the righteous. It's a very striking comparison. So I'm going to put up a set of verses. Now, each of these will be in the King James, so you'll see this word froward, all right? Let me put these up for you. First off was our, did I get ahead of myself? Just a second. Here we go. The first one is found in Proverbs 3:32. This is the one we started with, but in the King James it says, "For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous." Proverbs 8 and verse 8, it tells us, "All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them." Keep going down, Proverbs 10:31. We're seeing again these two characteristics. "The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out." Proverbs 11 and verse 20. "They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight." Then one more, a fifth comparison between the froward and the righteous. Proverbs 21 and verse 8. The way of man is froward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. As we look at this, what we begin to see is not only are there five direct comparisons between the froward and the righteous, but we could actually see this even further in the Proverbs. Those who are considered froward, it speaks of them 21 times in Proverbs. The righteous are mentioned at least in 80 verses. And you see, God wants us to be familiar with the difference between those who are froward and those who are righteous. And so that is what we are looking at today. Unfortunately, many New Testament Christians, many of us, have not taken the time to study and understand these characteristics. But we need to, because Proverbs 3 and verse 32, as we already read, it says, the froward is abomination to the Lord. If the froward is an abomination to the Lord, and there's something we'll see here, we'll talk about that a little later, the seeker is with the righteous. It means we really need to understand what is or who is froward and how do we avoid that. And that's what we are looking at tonight. Our theme is really we ought to avoid frowardness while seeking righteousness. Autocorrect there, forgive me for that. We ought to avoid frowardness while seeking righteousness. So let's take time to compare the froward person and the righteous person in the book of Proverbs. Now, don't worry, we're about to get there, what this word means. So if you're still waiting for it, it's coming. Froward is probably a new word to many of us. In fact, in order to understand what the author of the book of Proverbs has in mind, describing this character, we have to actually do a little word study. So we get one of these, like a lexicon, they call it, and you get there and do some word studies. And there are four words that are used that is translated froward in the King James, all right? And so I'm going to share what these words are. I don't know how to speak Hebrew, so you're just going to have to trust me that it's close enough, all right? The Hebrew word tapuka, it speaks of perversity or crookedness. It is found 9 times in the book of Proverbs. When this word is used and is translated froward, it is speaking of crookedness. There's another Hebrew word, lose. It speaks of turning aside or becoming perverse. This word is used 6 times in Proverbs, and it carries the idea of departing from that which is right. The Hebrew word aikshuth, it speaks of fraudulent, deceitful behavior, is used 5 times in Proverbs. And then one more, the Hebrew word pothal, it means to be braided like a rope or twisted up as if wrestled by a foe. That is only found in Proverbs 8 and verse 8. So 4 words for froward. The words translated froward thus, understanding it, it speaks of being crooked, perverse, deceitful. These are words that are described out of sort. So thus a froward person is a crooked or deceitful person. He turns aside from the path of God, and he is on a crooked path. As Psalm or Proverbs 22:5 says, thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. As a wise doctor takes time to consider the symptoms presented by a patient, a doctor would know that a patient who has jaundice or presenting as jaundice is likely dealing with something wrong with their liver. Something is causing that problem. The doctor assumes that a patient's fever indicates that there must be an infection. Likewise, as believers, we need to recognize certain characteristics of frowardness. What should we be looking out for? And so we're going to take a careful look at this. And now while I've used the King James up to this point, I'm going to switch over to the ESV for the rest of this. And the reason for this is while there's nothing wrong with the King James, the King James uses the word froward every time. All right? The ESV will use the word crooked or perverse or like that, and so it's a little easier to understand what exactly the meaning is. So as I normally use the ESV anyways, I'm going to switch to that. I don't normally switch between versions for you, all right? But tonight I will. So we begin as we're looking at the froward. How are they described? Well, the first thing we see is that the froward planned evil things. I begin by looking at Proverbs 16, 29 and 30, and God's word says this: "A man of violence entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. Whoever winks his eye plans dishonest things. He who purses his lips bring evil to pass." And so I highlighted the word that is in the King James would be froward, all right? This is the word. So what we see first is we often assume that people fall quickly and evenly, unknowingly into evil. They just kind of happens. I didn't mean for this. But God is actually aware that the froward man actually spends time planning evil. They spend time. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things. He winks his eyes. He is planning dishonest things, in other words. Hitler's plan to destroy the Jewish people, it was developed in secret. It was planned with many, and then it was executed with precision. There was a plan. Even so, there are many believers and unbelievers who spend a lot of time planning evil. I'm going to get them back. I know what I'm going to do. This is described as froward. We plan evil things. Secondly, the froward speak perverse words. They speak perverse words. I look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 24, and God's word says this: "Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you." So now we see a different word that is used here. Now we see crooked. Here's the idea: crooked, evil, twisted, deceitful speech will mark the conversation of the one who is froward. Their mouth reveals the reality of the heart. Think of what Luke 6:45 explains. It says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." What's inside will come out. This seems to be the number one characteristic of the froward. Think, there's some other verses I want to point them out for you. Proverbs 6 and verse 12. It says, "A worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech." Proverbs 8 and verse 8. "All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them." We could use twisted or crooked, I believe, there. Another one, Proverbs 8 and verse 13. "The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance in the way of evil are perverted speech I hate." You see, this froward is it's a big word. It's perverted. It's crooked. It's twisted. Proverbs 10, 31 and 32. "The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse." And you see, contrary to popular opinion, this was a shock to me. Women do not speak more than men. Maybe you've heard that. I heard it for many years, that the women speak more than men. Did you know it actually says both men and women speak about 16,000 words a day? We are just as guilty, men. Words have power. Words can cut. Words can hurt. Words have the power to lead someone to the Lord or turn somebody to sin. The froward, it says about their speech, that they weave crooked and perverse words. They have words that will lead to evil. Thirdly, the froward destroy relationships. They destroy relationships. Look what Proverbs 16:28 says. "A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends." It's not saying that this is universally true, but it is a truism. It's a general saying. Proverbs 16:7 says, "When a man's way pleases the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." One of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 is peace. So it really shouldn't shock us that a froward person is a destroyer of peace. It's somebody who tears apart relationships. And you see, while the righteous experience a broken relationship too, we see it's not because of frowardness. They might experience it, the Bible tells us in Matthew 10, because they are aligned with God. There's problems because they walk with the Lord, and there's others who say, I want nothing to do with God. But the froward, they bring the friction into the relationship. They cause problems and they destroy relationships. One more, the froward experience God's judgment. The froward experience God's judgment. Proverbs 10:31 says, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. You see, why is that? Well, we already read in Proverbs 3:32 that the froward is an abomination to the Lord. And God hates this. And so we shouldn't be surprised that if God hates this in us, that God says, I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to judge this. Proverbs 17:20 tells us, he that has a froward heart findeth no good. Proverbs 22:5 tells us that God will plant thorns and snares in the way. It is a difficult life to live like this. Believers often struggle with the question, why do the wicked prosper? Why do those doing wrong, why do they seem to do well? Well, it's best to remember that God promises that one day he will settle all accounts. One day God's going to make everything right. We don't know when. We don't know how. I came across this story recently. I found it kind of interesting. It was telling of those in Alaska who trap wolves. You know what they do? As they're going to trap wolves, they'll take a sharp knife, and they'll freeze blood onto this knife, and then they'll stick it in the ground. And as the wolves come they call it a blood popsicle. All right, as the wolf comes over and they want that, they're hungry and they start licking it. And you know what they're doing the whole time? They're cutting themselves, and they ultimately end up bleeding to death. It's a horrible picture. But yet, even as you consider this, there are many people who are deceiving, they are crooked, perverse, and they might be living it right now in prosperity. They're like that wolf. Oh man, this is great, it's free food. But what they're really doing is they're destroying themselves. And they don't even realize it. That's the picture. It's the pleasures of sin that they're there for a season, but they fail to realize that God's judgment is coming and God's judgment is sure. So as we have looked at the consideration of the characteristics of the froward, let's take time to consider the opposite characteristic, that of the righteous. Well, what does God say about the righteous? The righteous are spoken of more than any other characteristic in the book of Proverbs. I told you some 80 times, or 80 verses it's in. As opposed to the froward, the righteous are, instead of having four different Hebrew words, it only had two. The first one is yashwar. This word literally means to travel in a straight line free from any obstacle. Nothing in the path. It's a word that is used 25 times in Proverbs. For instance, Proverbs 21:29 says, a wicked man hardeneth his heart, but as for the upright or the righteous, he directeth his way. He makes his path straight. You may have heard that one before. This other Hebrew word, sadik, it speaks of living in compliance to a moral standard or living under a law. Proverbs 29:2 uses the word this way. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And so it's speaking good as you're living in authority, all right? Proverbs pictures the righteous walking straight lines and living in compliance with the law. So before we move carefully at this characteristic of the righteous man, it's important for us to consider, how does a person become righteous? After all, Psalm 51 verse 1 tells us that every man is born in sin. Psalm 58 verse 3 tells us that we are all estranged from God. Because of our sin, we are separated from God. Isaiah 64 6 also tells us that there is no righteousness apart from God. Sinners then become righteous by faith. Romans 9 verse 30, Philippians 3 9, Hebrews 11 7. When a sinner trusts in the substitutionary work of Jesus, that's where Jesus took our place on the cross to take our punishment. And when the sinner trusts in his work, he became sin for us in order that we might receive the righteousness of Christ. A new life begins. We're changed. I'm no longer Matthew Decker, a sinner. I'm Matthew Decker, a child of God. I'm born again. A new life begins. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes to live with us, inside of us, to direct us, to teach us, how do I live for the Lord? How do I grow? How do I learn? How do I do what is right? And so the righteous one who is portrayed in the book of Proverbs is really, in truth, we would say today, if it was talking today, we'd say this is a Christian. It's somebody who has accepted Christ as their Savior, and now they can live a life of righteousness. What is it that we see about them? What are descriptions of the righteous? Well, we begin where we started, Proverbs 3:32. And we see the righteous know the secret of God. I told you we'd come back to this. The righteous know the secret of God. Look at what our verse had said to us. For the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence. All right? So upright is the word for righteous there. The upright are in his confidence. Now you should be asking, what does that mean? When it says you're in his confidence, what does that mean? If you're in the King James, it says his secret is with the righteous. What is his secret? You ever wonder that? What is his secret? Well, I'm glad you asked. We see this several other times in the book of Proverbs. So this time, I'm going to put the word righteous in yellow up there. And if we can see it, I'm going to put the word for secret or confidence in red. Look at Psalms 25 and verse 14. It says, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. All right, do you catch that? Keep going. Another word, Proverbs 15, 22. Friendship can also be translated as secret counsel. It could go either way, okay? So the secret counsel of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Jeremiah 23 and verse 18. This one tells us, for who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word, or who has paid attention to his word and listened? One more, this one is found in the book of Amos, Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. It says, for the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. Oh, you can see it up there. I can't read the red on my screen, all right? Without revealing his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Having looked at these words then, for secret, for counsel, and describing the righteous with them, what is God's counsel? What is God's secret? What is this revelation? As we go back to Proverbs in chapter 3, verse 32, what we come to find out here is that God has provided his people with revelation that is sufficient for life and godliness. And God has revealed to the righteous person exactly what you need to live today. That's what it's telling us. All right? The devious person is an abomination, but the upright, God reveals exactly what you need. Isn't that a wonderful truth? That God reveals himself to us. So the righteous know the secret of God. Secondly, the righteous will speak honestly. We speak honestly. Look at Proverbs 13 and verse 5. The righteous hates falsehood, but the wicked brings shame and disgrace. Another one, I told you there was two verses. Proverbs 10:32 would add to this, and it says, "The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked is perverse." As we look at this, it's one of these chief characteristics of the righteous is contrasted with the froward in their speech. The righteous are people of truth. They speak truth. It's like what we see in James 5:12. Let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. This, as the Spirit of God takes control in your life, the old man is put away. And Ephesians 4:25 tells us, and every man will speak truth with his neighbor. That's a change. You become honest. Where there is no honesty, there is no holiness. Where there is no holiness, there is no salvation. We need to be honest people. Sorry. The righteous not only speak honestly, the righteous stand securely. Proverbs 10 and verse 30. These are encouraging words to the believer. Proverbs 10 and verse 30 tells us, the righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not dwell in the land. You see, the froward stand, and they're going to experience the judgment of God. But he says, the righteous will not be removed. The righteous will stand. What did they say of Daniel? In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3, it said, the righteous will shine forever. All right, it's talking about our security. It's talking about eternal salvation. You are secure with God. Proverbs 11:28 tells us, whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. Or how about Proverbs 12, verse 3? No one is established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous will never be moved. What an awesome picture. One more, Proverbs 12 and verse 7. The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. It makes me think of there in the Sermon on the Mount, the rain comes and the floods and the house on the sand goes flat. You remember that song? The righteous, though, will stand. The author of the book of Proverbs, he's making it very clear that you are building on a solid rock, that it is secure. Hey, the froward, they may build tall, they may build wide, they may build something that looks impressive, but it's built on sand, and one day it'll be judged, and it's not going to last. When faced with the trials of life, the righteous can withstand. When we're faced with adversity and life is difficult, the righteous can last. When it appears hopeless, we can stand because of the Lord. During the initial construction on the Golden Gate Bridge, did you know they originally didn't have any sort of safety underneath it? And as they were building that bridge and there was no safety devices used, whether it was to hold them or underneath, it said 23 men fell to their death. However, when they got to the final part, or a little later in the project, as a safety precaution, they installed a large net. And during that time, 10 more men, they fell into it and they didn't die. They lived. But even more interesting was that 25% more work was done after the net was installed. They moved faster. Why? Well, they were more secure. They had a trust that their lives weren't at risk if they happened to fall. They had assurance of their safety, and so they can move freely and wholeheartedly. God promises the righteous that you will stand. And why? I think it's so that you can confidently serve Him. No matter what you're facing, you can say, I know I'm secure with God. I know that God's in control. And because you have that security, you can serve Him faithfully. There's one more for us. We had alluded to it earlier. The righteous walk in straight paths. Proverbs 2, verse 20. The righteous walk in straight paths. And God's word says this, so you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. Generations have walked the pathway of righteous. God's word tells us it's a narrow path. It's not wide. But it's also a discernible path. You can know the way. Deuteronomy 17:20 challenges the righteous. Don't turn to the right hand. Don't turn to the left hand. Stay on the straight path. Don't turn either way. And you see, this path is predictable. Why? Well, because it conforms to the principles of God's word. It tells us what to expect. It tells us how to live. God didn't leave it a secret. He tells us exactly what you need to know. On the path of righteousness, God promises to keep our steps and to keep us from slipping. And it's filled with wonderful promises for us. The book of Proverbs, chapter 12, verse 7 says, "The house of the righteous shall stand." You see, we live in a generation where there are many Christians, the Lord's sheep, who are wearing wolf's clothing. It is often difficult to discern any difference between professing believers and unbelievers, because we often live like the world. We need to lay aside frowardness. We need to stop living perverse, crooked, deceitful ways. And we need to seek righteous. Be honest. Follow the straight path, because God says you will stand. The froward versus the righteous. I hope that each of us will choose right. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, it's a truth that we still need. Lord, we need to be careful on what we are doing. We are not to be like the world. Yes, we live in this world, Lord, but we can walk the right path. We need to be honest. But we need not to deceive or be perverse. Lord, help us. Help us to follow your word. As your word tells us, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Lord, you give us direction, instructions. May we stick to it. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this evening we're about to go into our time of prayer, but